Becky, does freedom trump public health from your philosophical perspective?
I think freedom trumps everything.
This is the Politics Podcast from WUNC. It's Friday. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Review time. And here for some analysis are Becky Gray from the conservative John Locke Foundation and Rob Schofield with the progressive NC Policy Watch. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
The Union County School Board voted to eliminate COVID-19 quarantine and contact tracing measures for most students and staff on Monday. By Wednesday, State Secretary of Health and Human Services Dr. Mandy Cohen responded by letter, writing in part, quote, "The action of the Union County Board of Education poses an imminent threat of serious adverse health consequences for students, teachers, staff, and the public more broadly." Close quote. Becky, is this entirely political, or is there some rationale for the actions of the school board this week?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit puzzled because Governor Cooper had given the authority of decisions about this to the local school boards. And now when they're making decisions, Mandy Cohen is coming in and, issuing letters and that kind of thing. So if the governor had wanted universal mask, and if in fact what Mandy Cohen is saying is speaking for the governor and the administration, then the governor should have made that statewide mandate rather than leaving it up to the school boards and then coming back and criticizing when they make those decisions.
Well, obviously, that's not what this is about. I mean, obviously, they do have some authority on masks, although they're one of the very few areas that aren't requiring them, unfortunately. And they've already got something like 1,000 positive cases in the Union County schools. This is about quarantining and about isolation and about protecting people once there's a positive test. And it's really frightening stuff when you got school boards that don't know what they're doing, starting to go off and freelance and sort of winging things instead of listening to the public health experts. This is really basic public health 101 when it comes to protecting people from the spread of the virus, and the crazy notion that, oh, well, they're asymptomatic, so we're going to let them come to school. That's not how this works. The virus spreads even from people who are asymptomatic. That's what we've learned. That's why 1 out of 500 Americans is now dead over the last year and a half. So it probably will head to court. I mean, just about everything else in this realm has. But I don't think there's any doubt that this is incredibly well-established precedent, state, federal courts, that public health officials have to have this kind of basic, as they say, public health 101 authority. That's all Secretary Cohen's talking about here, and Union County needs to get in line.
Becky, regardless of whether this was the governor's call, whether the governor passed this decision off to local school boards, is what the Union County Board of Education did this week on Monday night, is it dangerous?
Well, they don't think so.
I know that. But, well, do you think it's
dangerous?
They don't
think so, or they would not have made that decision. And, you know.
Well, quick context here. 9-member school board, 8-1 was the vote. So 8 of the 9 members. There is a dissenter in there. I do not know his or her name. But do you think that this is a wise decision, or does this flirt with danger in the name of this pandemic? And as we think about the young people and also the staff members in public schools in Union County?
Well, you know, it comes down to, you know, whether or not we want mandates to do these kind of things. And again, you know, if the governor had felt like it was an imminent danger, as Mandy Cohen has outlined, then he should assume the responsibility to issue a statewide mandate. You know, what do I think about it? I mean, you know, I think that each parent and each family and should make that decision as to what works best for them and their kids. And that I think that was the intent of allowing the school boards to make these decisions as to what was best for the different communities and different school systems across North Carolina.
I mean, obviously, we're going back to public health 101 here. It can't be something where every family gets to decide for themselves. That's just not how this works. It's a basic premise of public health policy. You don't have speed limits or, I don't know, anti-smoking ordinances that are optional. The basic premise is that this is about protecting the community. And it's not just about you and your family. When you choose not to become vaccinated, when you choose to send your child to school when they're have a communicable disease, you're putting other people at risk. And that's the premise here. That's the whole crux of the crisis we're in right now, has been the refusal of a noisy minority of Americans and North Carolinians to abide by that simple public health premise that all of us had been abiding by for a century, or well over a century, with respect to a wide array of diseases and inoculations. And it's just I think it's just a tragic situation that this has gotten this far. Very much hope that we listen to the majority, the overwhelming majority of people in the polls. It's shown it's close to 2/3 favor these kinds of common sense public health steps that the secretary is going to be demanding of the Union County schools. And I don't see any chance that they won't be ordered to get back in line.
So for decades, there have been some vaccines that have been required here in North Carolina for school-age children. Diphtheria, measles, mumps, rubella, and polio among them. Not a medical professional, not going to list them all for you. But Becky, if it is your position that it should be up to the families in this instance with this this now FDA-approved vaccine, should we revisit the other vaccine mandates that are on the books per North Carolina statute?
I think this is a good opportunity to revisit those and what works and what doesn't. I think that that's always a good idea to look at any kind of government mandates, particularly when you're talking about people's health and injecting people's bodies with things. I always think that's a good idea to revisit it. You know, I think we're still on kind of dangerous ground here with this particular vaccine when you're talking about school children under the age of 12 and the risks that have been associated with this. And I don't believe that has been that FDA has approved that for children under 12, which is a majority of the elementary age school kids that would apply to. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't look at it. I'm just saying that I think maybe in this case, it's a little bit premature.
Nobody's saying that under 12-year-old, there isn't even a protocol for that yet. That's not the issue here. The issue here is about contact tracing and isolation and quarantine and masks, all very common sense, simple, easy to adapt to public health procedures that, again, are public health 101 and will save thousands of lives if we adhere to these things. My wife was communicating with a little girl in the neighborhood the other day who's like a beloved neighborhood friend who's started kindergarten this year. And she was proudly showing my wife all the masks that she had picked out for school that week. She was coping with it just fine. This 5-year-old wasn't having any trouble with it. It's these adults who can't seem to get their arms around such a simple concept. And it's just a tragic situation in Union County. Again, I can't imagine it's going to stand.
One more follow-up, and then we'll move on. But Becky, you mentioned revisiting vaccine requirements for school-age children. I guess I'm interested just to press a little bit more and know what the motivation for that is. So the brief statistical context that I'll offer up here is the most recent data we have, the state tracks this through kindergartners. So we know that for last year, at least 95% of incoming kindergartners in North Carolina public schools, there were about 108,000 of them, were vaccinated. 1 to 1.5% were not vaccinated, and then there's about 4% we're not sure because they didn't report. So we know that at least 95% of students, kindergartners incoming, were vaccinating. But you mentioned I think your desire, if you didn't use the word desire, your openness to revisiting vaccine requirements in the state. Is that based on something scientific? Would you like to see them go away? Expound a little bit more for us.
No, I just think that, you know, the whole COVID discussion, and as we continue this discussion about vaccinations and who should do what and assessing risks, I just, you know, this seems to me to be a good opportunity to revisit that. And maybe we increase the number of vaccines. Maybe we look at that science. You know, are there some diseases where maybe booster shots are required now? I'm not saying one way or the other, but it just seems to me that this would be a good time to revisit that and look at it in light of, you know, as Rob mentions, public health issues and what really does protect kids. And, you know, are there some diseases that we have eradicated that maybe, you know, widespread vaccinations are no longer needed? I don't know the answer to that. All I'm saying is this may be a good opportunity to revisit that. And again, if we need to add vaccinations to that, if we get approval, if this FDA approval comes, if we're more familiar with the protocols for a COVID vaccine for all school-age kids, maybe we need to look at that.
Well, the people who do know, of course, are the scientists and the public health experts. And if there was any need to reassess whether we need to vaccinate children or adults for any of the already existing vaccinations, you can rest assured that they'd be coming forward. Nobody wants to make unnecessary vaccinations, but clearly that's not the direction we need to go on right now. That's not the message we need to be sending to the public. We need to be sending the message to the public of the vital importance, the overwhelming safety and effectiveness of vaccines, and not sending the message to people that now's the time to reassess vaccination in our country. It's saved millions of lives. It's going to save millions more, and we certainly don't want to go down that other road at this point.
A little bit of context here, and then I'm going to we're actually going to get to another vaccine question, but a couple of contextual notes. We're recording late Thursday afternoon. Dr. Cohen has given Union County until 5 p.m. Friday to rescind the Monday order or face legal action. Union County Public Health Director is not on the side of the school board, if you were wondering. Also, this mask debate carried on this week at school board meetings in Henderson, Johnston, and Moore counties. Again, just for some more broad geographic context, Henderson is holding firm with its requirement. Johnston pushed back a vote to next week. This is the meeting you might have heard about. Congressman Madison Cawthorn was there, maybe with a knife attached to his wheelchair. That's not totally confirmed. Also, in Moore County, a regularly scheduled school board meeting was canceled due to a threat against school board members. So just some contextual pieces to tie a ribbon on that. So let's talk a little bit more about vaccine mandates. SAS joined the private businesses requiring employees to be inoculated this week. The Cary-based technology company with some 5,500 workers says you must get vaccinated or face termination. Some workers will continue to be remote after the November 1st deadline. Meanwhile, Meredith College announced that all students and staff must be vaccinated by January 12th. That's the start of the spring semester. These entities join Duke University and major health care providers in the Triangle, among others, but still not the UNC system. Rob, a very similar question. Is this entirely political, or is there some rationale for no vaccine requirements on that front?
No, I think it is political. I think that the conservative leadership of the UNC Board of Governors toes the line that's given to them by the General Assembly, and this is understood that in the conservative ranks, this is not popular. I think it's clear that the leadership of the various UNC campuses would much prefer to move forward with a vaccine mandate. I think it's going to happen eventually. I think, sadly, tragically, you know, we were all praying for a vaccine a year ago, and then miraculously it happened, and we should be at the point now where we have overwhelming vaccination in the country, but we haven't gotten there because of these lies and misunderstandings and misinformation, and it's just a tragic situation. So I think we're going to have to move towards mandates in order to get this done so that, a misinformed minority isn't ruining life for the majority and keeping us all imprisoned because we can't go out into society because of these unvaccinated people. So it's going to happen, but it's going to probably take a while longer.
Well, I'm just not sure that, the mandates, and, I think what Rob's missing is that people get to make decisions for themselves. And, people have decided, and so, these threats and the coercion and all of this has not moved the needle, particularly with it. It doesn't work. People don't respond well to that. People get to make decisions. The other thing that's not included in this is people who have had COVID, who have those natural immunities, have the antibodies. That isn't included in this. And so, people get to make decisions for themselves. That's what freedom means. It doesn't mean you're always free. You're free to make decisions. It doesn't mean every decision you make is going to be a good one. But, that's what freedom means. And, are we ever going to have 100% vaccination? I hope our country doesn't move in that direction. And that's where we are, that, there are these, mandates that, you can't do anything unless you're vaccinated. And, you can be pro-vaccination and anti-mandates. I mean, that is a position that is absolutely reasonable to take.
I'm coming to you, Rob. That is your position. Yes, Becky?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was the position that all of us adopted when this all took place, because nobody, it didn't even occur to anybody that we would have this kind of absurd pushback, this misinformation campaign from folks on the right against vaccinations, the lies that have been told. It was just accepted and understood that this would be a voluntary thing, a gift to the American people that our scientists produced by working overtime. And so it's just tragic that we're forced to move in the direction of mandates. But of course, there are lots of laws that we have to abide by so that we don't harm our neighbors in this society. Speed limits. I talked about that already. There's a million other examples like that. Freedom isn't licensed to do whatever you want. Freedom comes with responsibility. And so in this case, this is another example of that. Nobody's going to mandate all 100% of people to be vaccinated. There are going to be exceptions. There are going to be religious exceptions. But as you just documented, Jeff, we've got 95% of kids vaccinated. It's tremendously beneficial in our schools with respect to an array of diseases. And that's precisely the direction we need to move in here. It's the only way we're going to get out of this mess we're in.
Becky, does freedom trump public health from your philosophical perspective?
I think freedom trumps everything. And I think when you give the American people, you know, I unlike Rob, I have tremendous confidence in individuals. You know, this notion that, you know, somehow, you know, conservatives have, you know, told people things, and so everybody's afraid to get a vaccine. I mean, that's just not true. And, you know, this rhetoric does not help any of this kind of discussion. And again, people don't respond well to that.
Do you watch Tucker Carlson? These threats and this rhetoric and this moral
positioning is just, you know, offensive to a lot of people. So, you know, some people are going to choose to be vaccinated. Some people are not. That's just the way it is. And I think that a lot of the public information that we have, I think that people talking to their families and those kind, I mean, full disclosure, I've been fully vaccinated. So I'm not I'm not an anti-vax person. It's just you have to respect other people's decisions that they make.
I know you have, and you have said that numerous times.
And
I've, here in
I
this,
encourage
this,
others
this
to get the vaccine.
Place before. So, and to me, the philosophical nature of the conversation we're having is interesting. And while we have been doing this segment for a long time, our segment does not predate the ban on smoking in this state. And I wasn't covering politics when that all played out. Rob mentioned seatbelts. I'll throw one more out there, which is red lights. So, if the position is liberty, freedom trumps public health, I guess just square for me. Were you against those things?
No, like, but that's different than injecting a chemical into your body and making those kind of health decisions. There's just a difference there than, you know, wearing a seatbelt or choosing to not smoke.
Rob, any
response? It ought to be a choice.
I mean, it's just remarkable. I mean, again, we've talked about the fact that our children are vaccinated, huge numbers of them. There have been mandates for this, for polio, diphtheria, smallpox. My God, the list goes on of the diseases that we've gotten under control and even eradicated because of vaccination. Demonstrably safer to inject yourself with a vaccine than to do any number of activities in public that we do, drive cars fast. I don't know. I mean, it's just stunning to me that we're having this kind of basic decision about such a fundamental premise of living in civilized society. If we're not going to be able to have vaccine mandates or the list, it's a really slippery slope we're going to start going down of things that we're going to make optional for people. And I'm very, very worried that this, and the notion that this has not, that this resistance has not been spread by conservative voices. I mean, listen to Madison
There's
Cawthorn.
There's a lot of misinformation
listen to
on both
listen
sides,
to,
Rob.
Listen to Tucker Carlson. Watch Fox News. See what's being said about these things. I mean, anybody who thinks that's not the driving force behind the resistance to this is kidding themselves.
Well, it depends on if you only look through things from a political lens and look for that polarization.
Well, but Becky, that's who's making the argument. Your own organization put out a big broadside last week in which you publicly said you would not abide by a vaccine mandate. You're one of the most well-known conservative voices in North Carolina. How can you say that's not, I mean, that's politicizing it. That's the forces that have been doing that.
A lot of this has come from both sides of the aisle. Your organization has written about this as well.
Now, so let me offer, I guess, a point of levity. Policy Watch and the Justice Center they're not anti-vaccine or anti-mandate that I have seen. I haven't seen everything.
No, but I mean, just today, Rob has gone on and on about how, you know, the problem with vaccines is, you know, conservatives spreading misinformation and, you know, the political rhetoric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the point of levity I would offer is that it is not just conservatives who are anti-vaxxers and who have spread disinformation.
That
and you
is
could
my
turn
point.
To whether those are documentaries
point.
On YouTube, and I would point to the outbreak that I believe I'm doing this off
That's
the top
true.
Of my head that we had in Buncombe County a couple
there
years
have been
ago.
Some of that. You're
one of
right.
The bluest pockets of the state. It was a resurgent of mumps that happened in our
right.
state in the 20-teens. So no, it is not just
clearly
the conservatives.
Not.
That's my point.
Well, that's
that.
Clearly,
okay.
But I mean, there's no doubt about the volume of where it's coming from. You're absolutely right, Jeff. You're absolutely right, Becky. There are misinformed people who are spreading lies and misinformation coming from the left as well about vaccines. But what they have in common with a large number of people on the right is that they are spreading lies and misinformation, and that is the tragedy.
The redistricting process is underway with public comment hearings across the state. There were two Wednesday evening and another two on Thursday afternoon into the evening. However, Sundown Wednesday to Sundown Thursday did mark Yom Kippur, a day of atonement, the holiest day of the year for the Jewish faith. Should these public forums have been held on Yom Kippur? Becky?
I don't know what was behind the decisions to hold them when they did in the facilities, when those facilities were open, getting them done within a certain amount of time. I don't know how that decision making came about. I think it's important to make folks aware that the public hearings are not the only way that they can make their opinions known, that they can provide comment, that they can provide sample maps and participate in this discussion. So the public hearings are only part of that. You know, I would have preferred that they avoided any conflict that they could with religious observations or you know, like not having them on Sunday mornings and just like not holding them on the high holy days for the Jewish community. But there are other ways to participate in this. No one is being shut out of this this process. And it's very easy. If you go to the North Carolina General Assembly website and to their homepage, it's very easy to get to that page where you can submit comments regarding the redistricting process. You can submit maps. The other thing you can always do is to contact your legislator with any kind of information that you have. So I think it's important for folks to realize that outside these public hearings that they're having, that there are also other options for folks to participate in this process.
My guess as to why they had scheduled it on Yom Kippur was that they're just oblivious. They just didn't think about it. They were probably oblivious to the fact that it was Yom Kippur. But part of the reason for this, I think, is likely because we're having to cram so many hearings into such a small period. You know, in 2011, there were something like 60 hearings over a period of 4 months. Now we're going to have a couple dozen crammed into 3 weeks. We're making it actually harder for people to participate. Amazingly enough, a decade ago, as I understand it, you could actually, despite the technology being more primitive, you could actually participate in the hearings virtually. And you can't do that this time, at least as I understand it. And so in general, I have the sense that this is, we're just sort of going through the motions. The Republican majority is preparing to gerrymander the redistricting maps once again. They're going through the motions of having some public hearings, but this to me sends just another signal that they're really not listening very much or taking the whole process terribly seriously.
I think those are unfair assumptions to make. And again, if you want to participate in this process, there's plenty of ways that you can do so. You know, one of the reasons why the time has been shortened is because of the difficulty getting the census numbers and just getting the data available. So there's a lot of things that are playing into this. You know, everybody doesn't have ill intent.
Well, I don't know that they consider themselves having ill intent. I think they have intent to draw the maps in the way that they think will be. I don't think anybody has any doubt that the Republican leadership wants to draw the maps in ways that are more likely to elect Republican majorities in both houses and in the congressional delegation. And I mean, that's just ever since they declined for the umpteenth time to go along with an independent, nonpartisan redistricting process and kept the power for themselves. I mean, that message was made crystal clear. And it's quite possible that we could have delayed this process. It's true that the census held things up. Elections could have been pushed back somewhat, but we've decided instead to just cram it all in into a couple of weeks. And I fear very much that that's going to tamp down on the ability of average people to participate. And the coincidence with Yom Kippur is just another example of how that's true.
Rob Schofield is director of NC Policy Watch. Becky Gray is senior vice president at the John Locke Foundation. Thank you for the conversation.
Thank you, as always.
Each Friday, we review some of the North Carolina political happenings, and as you likely already know, we drop Tuesday podcast episodes as well. If you have yet to do so, give a listen to this week's conversation with former state health director Dr. Jeffrey Engel. It's all about vaccines, resistance, and requirements that have long been in place. And please consider leaving a rating and or review of this podcast wherever you downloaded it from. I'm Jeff. Enjoy your weekend.
Hi. Hey, are you ready to eat? You ready to eat just a little bit? Okay, hang on.